Hello, welcome to episode 57 of Mooncast. We're talking about upgrade cards. That's what I've been thinking about doing. Well, we haven't done the upgrade cards. So we're going to essentially go through each one and think about when, like, who might be useful on particularly. We don't know if we'll get through all of them in one go. There might be a two-parter. So we'll kind of get through as many as we can. The order we're doing them in is the order that they're in my little wallet folder thing. So it's starting with the Commonwealth only ones, then the Commonwealth and Dominion ones, and then the Commonwealth and Leisure Vault ones, and then Dominion.
Dominion and Leisure Vault,
and then lastly Leisure Vault. But we'll see how many, because there's like 36 to get through. So. Yeah. We may just do like half first. That would actually be quite sensible if we did half. If we'd got as far as just the one, so all Commonwealth would be just over half. We'll see. We don't use upgrade cards as often. Maybe we should use them more often.
Yeah.
Recently we've been doing tournament practice anyway, so we wouldn't be using upgrade cards, but they are quite fun. They do add something new. The game, particularly if you sort of play the game quite a lot,
can have really cool twists.
They can add really cool little twists. We have done it before where we've added like one or two upgrades. I think in terms of number of upgrades, I would say one per three models in your troop. So if you're just looking at four aside, one upgrade each is plenty. If you're doing six aside, then two upgrades is okay. There's no points for anything on these, so it's whatever you want to use. It's kind of you've got equal access, as it were. Some you could say are probably better than others, but I do think that there's a place for all of them. It depends what troop you're using and what troop you're facing that you might take them. There's some really kind of fun ones, some slightly silly ones, and then some really sort of useful ones. And there's quite a few that are based on like abilities that models already have. There's some of the little taken out of cards, really. Yeah. So, get going. Otherwise, we'll be here all night. So, first one is Battle Hardened, which basically gives a model tough as old boots. So, at the start of the replenished depth, the model of a game restores two wounds. So, for example, Gradak's got that ability already.
Yes.
And so Noel's got it.
Oh, right, yeah.
The Leisure Vault Troll. I think they're the
only. Noel can give that.
Noel can give it to someone as well, So, yeah, it's particularly useful on models you're not expecting to die in one turn. So, it's good on trolls, good on giants, where it's hard to take all the health off in one go, or a model with lots of armor, or lots of resistance. Any model with lots of health, actually, is quite a good one, so. Gives that the Gnomish Airship is quite a good one on. Obviously kind of standard useful one to have. There's lots of models. This is a Commonwealth only one, so Commonwealth tend to have more health as it is anyway. Quite good on like Fritz as well. Has a lot of health but can lose it. Or someone like Friar Flavius as well. Just because it's hard not to kill as it is. Because you're storing two wounds. The good thing about Tough Soul Boots is you can not worry as much about not getting first turn, or not getting the turn, and like a double activation from one turn to the next because you're gaining two wounds.
You have to worry less about a healer, so you've got that automatic heal.
It's quite good to give it to someone who's with Gradak, and you've got two people with it.
Yeah.
So two people you know are going to be, that's it, you're gaining four wounds a turn. Which is quite a lot. So, in terms of models, it's not so useful on. I would say not so useful on things with that can fairly straightforwardly die in one turn. So if you've got models that kind of hit hard but take damage quickly, so someone like Commonwealth cards, someone like Quack. If someone's managed to get to the point where they're hitting Quack, he's probably going to die. Natty. Could be from Natty. Could be low health, but she's hard to kill.
A bit annoying to
already.
Target, yeah. It's quite horrific on people with armor as well, actually. Because they're
Ailing like,
and they're hard to.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I've got the humans up. The Commonwealth humans is pretty good on all the Commonwealth humans.
Yeah, they've all got
fairly high amount of health. Yeah. Even like the lowest one is Natty, but with Look of Innocence, she's hard to kill. So her gaining those two wounds is pretty good. And on the gnomes. Yeah, it's kind of good on. It could be good on anyone, really. Imagine giving it to Mama Gimbal, she'll never die. I would say for Commonwealth, it's pretty useful anyway. Then you've got a few Commonwealth
Leshervolts.
Crossovers. Actually, it's quite good on Commonwealth Leshervolt crossovers because they don't tend to die in one turn.
And they don't have a lot of resilience, so anything you can get to get.
Yeah, so someone like Jada, Mr. Toodles, quite Boris, good on them.
Yeah.
Boris, Chubbs, Brother Daniel, obviously. Lubard, making it almost impossible to kill. It's a pretty solid one. It's a pretty solid one for almost anyone, really.
Yeah.
Hard one to not take, actually. Maybe even.
Mm. It's a straightforward one as well because it just works.
Yeah.
Automatically, as long as you're alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is same.
Next one is Ox Blood Elixir. They gain strong as an ox. If it deals impact damage, increase damage by a further +1. So this one is a bit more specialist because you wouldn't want to give it to someone that can't cause impact damage.
Mm.
There's a few that can't do impact damage, for example, that do or that do bonuses on piercing and slicing already. You don't really want to give them the impact increase, but really good on someone who already has impact damage increase.
Yeah, and you're also obviously going to focus more on the hitty people in the first place.
So someone like Hoff
would
be dealing +3 impact damage.
Yeah.
And
if he gets Furious Charge, you can then get +4
damage. Lubard is already +2, so +2 would be +3 impact.
I think Morris gets +2 impact and Bjorn.
Morris is, +2 impact. And also, I think it's
not
Morris.
Bjorn, sorry, who's the. Where is he? The Norse one. The other Norse.
Loki.
Loki. Yeah.
He's +1 impact, so he'd be +2 impact.
Okay.
I think it's Loki and Morris, who both have ignore passabilities as well.
That
damage really, really shows.
Yeah.
Just checking Morris because it's the same. Yeah. So it really shows for them when they do extra damage and you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
And then for humans, you've got, I think, Fire Flavius. Yep, does an extra 1. Impact damage. Guillemot, like Poppycock, would be doing 3 +3 impact damage. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Good.
And then even things like Fritz. He does +3 slicing already. He'd then do +2 impact, but generally speaking, you just shoot slicing. But I don't think there are any hitting abilities that don't do well, sweeping cut.
Mm.
Probably not so useful on Fritz, but useful on a few others. Certainly, and like even Fancy Hat. Not so use on Fancy Hat. I think for personally, I'll put on someone who already does bonuses to impact, and therefore has like further bonuses to impact. It's really scary. There's not really anyone else in here. I don't think Daniel's not got any bonuses to it. No. So yeah, pretty standard. Give someone with impact already, so you'd be choosing that anyway, and get the extra damage. Okay, next one. Expert training, non-rogue, human only. Friendly characters within 6 inches may use this character's signature move. When doing so, this character's signature move may only be used to upgrade the melee card specified on it, not the melee card of the friendly character's normal signature move once per turn. With again, when doing so, this can.
I'm just rereading it.
Okay, so if you give this to someone, it's their signature move on their melee card. So you can't use, for example, Eric can't use High Guard to get Fancy Hat's signature move. You have to use Fancy Hat's Falling Swing to do it.
Yeah.
What it means. Yeah, pretty useful again. And it's human only, so it's an easy one for us to look at because it's the only humans, so I'll move to the only humans. Fancy Hat's obviously another one because his signature's so good. Mm. It's a non-rogue.
This is getting into the realms of a lot that can be done with a bit of planning and setup.
It's
a lot more complicated compared to Truffle's Old Boots.
Yeah. Yeah, this one takes a bit more setting up, so you need to think about how you're going to play the game at the beginning. But giving that to Eric, for example, that means Eric. It also means that what I think it means is that essentially anyone within 6 inches of someone with this, you've got an option of 2 signature moves.
Mm. Yeah.
And if you give it to someone, let's say you give it to Fancy Hat, I think there's something like Flintlock, Eric, their signature moves are on defensive abilities. So you've got the choice of being offensive or defensive a bit more, which is a bit good. And particularly those ones, I think things like Tabby. Oh no, hers is an offensive one. I'm thinking the ones, I personally would give it to someone who's got an offensive ability because they're probably already going to be up there in melee anyway. It's within
6 inches.
So 6 inches is quite big in Moonstone. Or the other option is you give it to someone who can steal Moonstones like Natty. I think her signature is steal, isn't it? Did you steal a Moonstone with
Cut Purse?
Yeah, so yeah. Then you've got then what it means is she can sit behind your melee characters, and those melee characters can steal Moonstones.
Mm.
Which is a bit good as well.
It's a very versatile one, that is.
Quite a versatile one, but takes thought about who you're going to give it to and like why.
You don't want to just bung that on someone without thinking about it and then just think about it afterwards because you may find it doesn't really do a lot.
There needs to be planning in it.
Yeah.
I quite like the good Natty actually and having them just like behind Vancey
Hat. That's good, yeah.
It's Vancey hits them with his massive melee stat and just nicks them most of them, which is funny. In fact, what you could do. Possibly, I don't know whether it's legal or not, is you could use Fancy Hat to do his signature move, follow up, use her signature move, so you can hit them a couple of times, and then follow up and still stop them as well.
Just for good measure.
Just for good measure. Literally, like insult to injury. I think that's how it could work. It could be a really fun one. It could also be one of those ones that like you could end up not using it at all.
Yeah.
But it's definitely got some fun things you could do with it, I think. So next one is Stoic. I think Stoic.
Yeah.
I don't teach them how to read. This character always generates a full amount of energy on their health track during the player step, ignoring any wound suffered. This character can never gain or lose energy through character abilities.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That's a nice one. Not so useful on gnomes.
No, this all
because their energy is low down.
Yeah.
Useful for someone with energy that's high up.
Especially if they really want that pip as well.
Yeah, like Natty could be quite good for. Well, though, what I think is it's useful for someone who's probably going to be going up by themselves. Because it says they can't gain or lose energy through other categories.
Yeah.
But they can't lose it. So being by themselves mean they can't lose it to someone like Diana. They can't lose it to, I think it's Creep and the Duchess, who could take energy. They can't lose it.
Yeah.
But they can't gain it either. So you don't really need them near Tabby or Eric, who can give out energy. So it's a character who might be more likely to be by themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think, it's not human only, but like I said, not as useful on gnomes because their energy tends to be low down anyway.
Generally,
it's all quite low down.
Dead if they're something like that.
Possibly something like Flintlock because he might get left behind.
I wouldn't rule it out for gnomes because their energy is all down the bottom. So once they do start losing it, it's quite horrendous, really, to be almost dead and not be able to use your abilities because you haven't got enough energy. But it's definitely more useful on humans.
Quite useful on like Hogwash and Fritz, I think.
Yeah.
The thing with a lot of the Commonwealth is they don't have a lot of energy. They don't have a lot. It's usually 3. I don't think there's anything really with 4. Mr. Toodles could be useful on Jada could be really useful, yes, actually, because she's often out by herself because she's so quick.
Definitely.
So she's never really one to be targeted for gaining energy, but because she's got four, if she loses, say, four health, she's down to two. In fact, if she's still getting four energy, then she can still swift away and be quite reactive, so...
Yeah, I was going to say... Chubbs, but Chubbs is not...
No, he's Leshfire only, so no. Daniel is quite good on, actually. Daniel. Lee Bard, not so much. Hoff, also not too bad on. Chubbs is... Oh, no, Chubbs isn't.
No. Well, got Chubbs, I think he used twice. To be, didn't he?
No, because that's version 1 and version 2 there, so we're talking to ourselves now. But yeah, definitely, I think a useful one, but again, one to think about, not one you just stick on anyone. Got the next one?
Yeah, I think so.
Any else you want to add for Stoic?
I can't think of anything. No, it's like you say, you don't want it on someone that's kind of going off on their own.
I think so. It lends itself more to someone who's on their own. Not somebody kind of in the middle is gaining energy anyway.
And you definitely want, you don't want to put it on someone that wants an extra energy like Boris. Daniel, who wants the extra energy, so, you know, potentially to use his.
So actually, what I just said about Daniel having it is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Well, only if you want to use Ender's Night, you don't always want to use that one.
No, I don't need to be off at all, but yes. Not good on the Leshbot characters who have arcane abilities that are cost more than their.
Yeah,
aren't very many of actually. Yeah, who are also Leshbot, but.
You think,
like Lubard has, for example.
Yes.
Can't get to him because then he can't do Righteous Fury.
Yeah, you want to be careful with that one. It's the first one we've got to that can really backfire on you.
Yeah, the wrong person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one, Dusty Old Scrolls, Wizard or Cleric only. So this is Commonwealth and Dominion. There's quite a lot of crossover. There's more crossover cards for upgrade cards than there are faction specific. There's only four Commonwealth specific, and there's 2, 8, 11, 12 that are just Dominion and Commonwealth. There's quite a lot of crossovers.
Yeah.
This is a quite straightforward one. Wizard or Cleric only, plus one arcane.
Yeah,
once per turn, though.
Simple one.
Once per turn, fucking. So, yeah. Could probably be regarded as useful on any Wizard or Cleric. Commonwealth Dominion means it's got a lot of options. Good on any fairy, just to make them even more scary. Good on Flintlock. You know, making Flintlock Arcane 4 as a standard is quite scary.
Yeah.
Or Gertrude. Gertrude would be Arcane 6.
Is it Wizard or Cleric?
Wasn't it? Yes, sorry, it was a Cleric. So Librarian, quite good on Librarian, actually.
Yeah.
Good on Quack. Maybe making Quack Arcane 6.
Yeah.
Makes healing like a guaranteed thing, really.
Yeah.
Not a lot of Wizards, actually, in Commonwealth, are they?
No, I think they're more less chivalry Wizards, aren't they?
What about... even McGimble's not a cleric.
Just a gnome. Just a plain gnome.
A plain old gnome. Liv is a cleric, so it could be good on her. Let's look at Dominion. I don't know how many wizards there are in Dominion, actually. So there's it's quite limited. None there. Oh, goblins. Shabaroon, Arcane 8.
Oh, that's it.
That could actually be really good, because sometimes you really want to get Transcobobulo, and it's not very easy. So yeah. Shabaroon's quite a good one for that.
Oh, Beaky Bob is a wizard.
Null, Arcane 5, Troll Wizard.
Nice.
Biggie Bobby, Arcane 6 Healer. It's good. And then Mortician. So making reanimate more likely.
Yeah.
Grub is a wizard. Not so useful on Grub. He's only got Bug Spray, so probably not so useful on Grub. And then Fairies, there's quite a few. So Freya, Arcane 6 Freya. No, Diana's not, though. Foxglove, Arcane 4 is quite scary. Yeah, so definitely a few. I think, to honestly, this is one that you could take on any of them.
Yeah.
It'd be good on any Wizard or Cleric. It's only once per turn, so it's only one ability, but I like that one. I think it's a if you're not sure which one to take, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Because it will come in useful. Next one is Armed to the Teeth. Rogue, Pirate, or Noble.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Brace of Pistols. This character may reload ability without paying energy. So, yeah. really good on pirates because they've all got pistols.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of, trying to think. Yeah, there's not so many, obviously, because it's noble, pirate, or rogue only. There's not so many you're going to use it on, simply because there aren't that many. All the pirates have got pistols, so it's good for them.
Yeah, fancy hats.
It was rogue, pirate, or noble, wasn't it? So there's not really a lot of nobles in. There's no gnomes. It's good for. Not bad on fancy hat. Fire pistol twice.
Yeah.
He's the only one there.
He's the only noble with a gun, I think.
I think he probably is, yeah. But great on Claudia, who's already got, I think. She's already got both pistols. But I think you probably can have it twice. Most time you can have things twice. Most things stack, so she could do it twice in a game, which is mental. But Swash, Peggy, great on.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if there's any nobles here particularly. You've got it. So yeah, it's mainly the pirates really. Like Seasick doesn't have anything that shoots. Really, all he needs is a Goblin King. Krusty. The pirate El Capitano.
Swiggy's got as well.
He's got one as well. So yeah. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Pretty good standard one. Next one, Rogue's Guild. Rogue membership characters gain the rogue keyword, which is always fun. Characters in light cover. That's quite good. Gains heavy cover if they're within light cover.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, rogue build's quite fun. So giving someone else rogue. There's a few synergies with rogues, like Muradai. So you can give someone who, for example, Muradai gives, is it +1 arcane?
Yep.
To everyone. Yeah, +1 arcane. So you give someone who's like quite good at shooting already a rogue status. Make them a rogue.
Yeah.
They suddenly become even better. Like Flintlock, for example. Flintlock next to Muradai with rogue. It's just ridiculous. And then you can use Beldar to get him into a better position as well. Trying to think who else it's particularly good for. There's some fun ones. I mean, rogues are mainly Dominion. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of rogue, like Natty's a rogue, but she doesn't really have any particularly rogue. There's not a lot of other rogue links with her because they're mainly Dominion. Creep, but again, doesn't really have any rogue things. But I'm thinking more you could have a rogue list with, it's about adding an additional rogue to a standing rogue list. Maybe one that's not what you'd expect, someone that's maybe quite good at shooting, like someone like Flintlock, I think. I'd give it to Flintlock, or like Vespa or something. So you can move her up, you can swap with Belladonna. So that being able to do the Belladonna thing, basically, with a rogue is quite fun. Quite a bit more niche. That one.
Yeah, so this one is like the second one. The other one was expert training. So these two are like, you're not just giving an extra ability, you're like changing the fabric of the card, basically, which is quite massive.
I mean, it gives them that heavy cover if they're in light cover as well, which is quite good. That's going to benefit anyone, really. But you really think about why you'd want to make someone a rogue.
Mm.
You give it to... Give it to Rybold. Have a rogue troll. You get a +1 arcane from Muradai.
Yeah.
It's quite a scary thought. There's all got some fun things you could do with it, but if you wanted to play it, I guess competitively, you need to think about which character you. Like, why do you need that character to be a rogue? There's not actually a huge amount of rogue synergies. There might be with What's his face? Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Joby, who was a rogue. I can't find him now. What he is.
Later on.
I think he's... Joby. Yeah. He's Dominion. Oh, he's already a rogue. But does he have anything to do with rogues? No. No, he doesn't particularly. So there's not really any reason. But, well, I couldn't remember if he did it, had anything. So I don't really use him very much. But yeah, well, I'd be interested to know if anyone else has thought about using that one. I think it's a very niche one. Like, I would be giving it to, like, well, not Flintlock so much, because I don't. Maybe if I had Muir die, because Muir, then you could have a bit more closer to a Commonwealth rogue thing. You'd have Natty, Muir die, and another rogue then. Mm. But I'd think about to get someone like Rybold or the Goblin Airship to get that bonus from Muir die.
Yeah, it's nice.
Next one, Greedy. Mercenary only. This character can only lose possession of the moonstone if slain. The first of this character performs a harvest action in a game, reducing energy cost by minus one. Okay. Sounds like kind of moonstone. Good for someone who really good on the Revenant. who already can't lose him. Doesn't die. He does drop a moonstone now he dies, if he's slain. But can't have him stolen is quite good. Basically, I would say it's good on a mercenary who's going to be up there and may have it stolen off them.
Oh, yeah, mercenary only. So
mercenary only, yeah. So
he,
got, like,
he's not a mercenary then, I guess. Is he?
No, actually, he's not.
He's a noble.
Yeah, of course he is. Someone like Fritz is quite good on. There's a few gnomish mercenaries, like Bjorn.
Yeah, who mercenaries don't really jump out in my mind as to who is a mercenary apart from those two.
There are a few more. So yeah, Bjorn.
Oh yeah, Bjorn.
And then there's Fritz. Gertrude, she's good actually to put it on, because she's usually up there doing stuff essentially.
Yeah.
Not a lot in there. Oh, Gotchgut.
Gotchgut.
And Brunhilde. Too good, because they're really hard to kill as it is.
Yeah.
In fact, you can't steal it off them. And actually, the first harvest action in the game reduces by minus one, so it makes it good for Brunhilde and Gotchgut.
Yeah, because they got low energy, and they get
low energy.
Less they have to spend on digging, the better.
Yeah,
and you want them, generally want tend to want to have moonstones. So yeah.
Yeah, you're not against Gotchgut and Brunhilde having moonstones. They tend to be bodyguards anyway, so they're slightly behind your characters. You want them moving up, so
yeah,
definitely good for them.
Yeah, that's a nice little one.
Okay, next one, Whetstone.
Whetstone.
Think so. basically, this is like Oxblood Elixir. It's plus one slicing.
Yeah.
Soldier, noble, or mercenary only. So it is a bit limited. I'm not going to say too much about this one, really, because it's kind of an obvious one. You've got, I mean, ridiculous on Fritz.
Fritz, yeah.
Plus four slicing damage. Yeah, good on. It'd be good on Fancy Hat. It'd be good on Eric. It'd be good on Young Jack. Anyone, again, who's already doing slicing damage.
Just a plus one. These ones, you know, they're not like some of the other ones that are like Dusty Old Scrolls. Once per turn, when you do one thing, this is when you're attacked, when you attack multiple times a turn, all the time, all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to say much more about that one.
Yeah.
But it's just a standard good one. I think the thing would like what could be really good would like if you're having a troop of six and you're taking two, Oxblood Elixir on like Poppycock and then Whetstone on Fritz, you've got two characters that are just so brutal in melee that your opponent's gonna run away. Sometimes with any kind of upgrade like this, you're not necessarily gonna get to use it, but you are gonna scare your opponent with it. Because they get to know what you've chosen.
Yeah.
So Polished Helmet, next one, non-wizard, non-cleric. Reduce impact by minus one. Only if you're the defender, the attacker suffers minus one melee stat.
Good.
So again, fairly straightforwardly useful on a lot of things. I guess particularly good if you know you're going to be facing impact.
Mm.
If you're facing... I think it's trolls and giants tend to have plus impact. But also just a standard, it's quite good. I would say this is quite good on models who you're going to be using to defend moonstones, but not necessarily pick them up. Because someone like Lubard, for example, who's just standing in the middle, stopping
stake their claim, really,
stake their claim. Yeah. You're going to attack them when they're your minus one melee. It's quite good for that, I think.
And if you can start getting other people near them as well, get additional minuses, it's can really make a big difference.
But mainly, I mean, your wizards and your cleric tend to be behind anyway. This is, to me, this is on an out and out melee character. You're expecting to get attacked in melee at some point because they're probably going to be up there attacking stuff.
I think you want to you want to double down on something rather than try and make a character into something they're not, or double down.
Yeah, it's making someone even better at defending than they already are.
Yeah.
There's a few models that are particularly good at defending. Quite good on something like Wasp.
Well, I was just going to say Wasp.
or Vesper. Yeah. Or what's the other fairy that's really good at attacking? Fencer.
Yeah.
Because when Wasp goes on attacks him, he tends to be at an advantage already attacking. He's weaker when he's being attacked because he's got less cards.
Yeah.
So if your opponent's also getting less cards, it's a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah.
And anything for fairies that reduces damage is always going to be good. Because Fenton, for example, already reduces piercing damage. It's reduced impact as well.
Yeah.
They can only do active damage on slicing. It is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's a useful one. It'd be hard to know, if I was taking like Fenton, for example, or Wasp, would I take that over additional damage? Would I take that over, for example, expert training? I don't know. I think it depends on what I was facing. If I was facing a lot of arcane, I wouldn't worry about it. But if I was facing, again, quite a melee-heavy list, I'd be thinking about it. But anyways, you don't know what you're going to be facing necessarily. But generally useful one, though, that could be used on a lot of models, as long as they're not wizards or clerics.
You just want to make sure that you don't waste it during the game. You
want
to use it.
Yep.
Some end.
Okay, next one. Enchanted boots. Non-animal, non-troll, non-gnome. Interestingly. Plus one jog.
Good.
I don't think that would work with slow, though.
No, because you set your jog.
Yeah, it's reduced two inches. And maybe you can get the bonus. But obviously, this is going to be useful. It's locked. I'd give it to someone like Jada, make it even quicker.
Yeah.
Someone who's already fast, make them even faster.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works on slow. If it does work on slow, I'd give it to someone like the fire spitter.
Yeah.
Because a quicker fire spitter is always good, or like Rybold or something. If you can do it on that, I'd have to check with Tom or Joe whether you could use it. Rybold slow.
Rybold slow.
Pretty sure Rybold slow.
Oh, really? Oh, it's been a long time since I've.
I'll just check.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah, you're right.
I will check it now. So
there you are.
My bold slow, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
But I think make a quick character quicker.
Yeah.
It's like a fairy.
Oh no.
Non-troll. So he's the non-troll. Can't get the rival anyway. I'll give it to a fairy. Have a fairy that can jog 5. And they can step 5 again. They can move 12 inches a turn. 11 inches in a turn, that's ridiculous. Jada, a model that you're expecting to want to kind of move around the side. I forgot that when you do the move turn drop and there's one that's gone off to the side somewhere. It's that character.
Yeah.
The one's going to go after that.
Jada.
I think it probably does work with slow, because it's plus one to your jog. It doesn't say you gain a 5-inch jog. It's plus one to your jog. So I think it would work with slow. Your slow would become 3 inches. Because slow is your jog reduced to 2 inches, and this is adding plus one afterwards.
That's how
I read it. But again, I think that as we're going through this now, so we don't use these very often. So a lot of these we're kind of for the first time, or again for the first time.
Yeah,
is when would you take that and not another one?
Yeah,
when would I give that to Jada, and when would I not give her? we talked about her having battle hardened, for example, or stoic. Mm. Like, we want to give her that and not this.
Yeah, it depends. But then, what sort of list you're
I think
for.
The thing is, like, if I gave someone enchanted boots and not stoic, I'd then use them differently.
Yeah,
they would not be trying to get hurt. They'd be dodging between cover.
Yeah, so if you're going for just speed, you'd probably want enchanted boots.
You'd be moving from cover to cover.
Yeah,
to stay safer.
Yeah,
it's a different way. It changes the way you use a model.
Differently,
which is what you know these upgrade cards are all about. Really, it's about that fun way of changing the way you're playing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, next one anyway. Shirt of mail, soldier only on this one. Reduces slicing by -2 to a maximum of -2. So someone already has a damage reduction. So that this is no good on anyone with plate mail, for example. Let's look at our
only ones that have only mail is all, armor is -2.
So this is a very niche one, I think. This is one. It's probably the first one I've got to where I've thought I wouldn't take that very often. It could be useful on anyone really who's going to be up there getting hit.
But
it's often quite easy to just
someone that doesn't care about minus slicing.
Yeah, who just does piercing instead. Yeah. It's good if you know you're going to face fancy hat Fritz.
Yeah.
But then you're limited on who can take it.
It's not soldier only.
Soldier only. So, like in gnomes, for example, Quarrel's a soldier, and that's it. And then in humans,
Old Calder's,
Fritz, Eric, Hogwash. But he's already got -1.
Old Calder's
impact or magical.
Old Calder's has quilted armor, so he's already minus.
He's already -1 slicing already.
Yeah, so it gives him to -2.
Poppycock's got. He's just no. Flintlock, yeah, okay, -1 slicing. Flintlock couldn't be terrible. And then, if we're looking at Dominion stuff. Fire Spit as a soldier, Portly Pete, but I think he's already got -1 damage. No trolls are soldiers. And he got like one, but a wasp is a soldier. There's not a lot in there.
Not Doug.
Vicious Sid, but he's already -2. Doug's soldier, but he's already -1. -1 pissing an impact, so actually could be useful on Doug. Doug could be a good one for it. And then it's useful on some fairies, Wasp, Vesper. They're both soldiers. They're your two soldiers for fairies. So Doug will be my number one target for that. Because he's -1 impact, -1 piercing.
Yeah.
And -2 slicing. He's -something to everything non-magical.
Mm.
So Doug's my number one for that one, I think.
I think this is, like you say, problem this one is this could easily do nothing. Mm. It's pretty niche.
You could take it.
It's not really in your control necessarily whether it does something.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think to me that that's Doug.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Conscripted gains the non-wizard gains the soldier keyword. First wound character suffers and the game is ignored. So you ignore the first wound. This to me is for someone who you need either A, they need field medic on them. Which can be used on soldiers and nobles, I think. So it's good with someone's going with Old Calder's and Eric. And I think it's Poppycock who can move soldiers, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Not good on most of the gnomes. They don't have to make many soldiery things. But I think it's Poppycock. Yeah, who can move soldiers.
Is it... does he move them more if they're a soldier, or is it...?
Moves them more. Moves them 2 inches if they're a soldier.
Yeah.
So to me... It's models you're taking with Old Calder's, Eric, and Poppycock, who aren't already soldiers. So any of the other ones, any of the other humans, really. Tabby, Quack, anything.
Yeah.
Even Fancy Hat. Not so useful on him because he's already a noble, so he's already benefiting from Field Medic. So, yeah. Lots of choices, really.
Nice
quite a few soldiers already. You're going to have a lot of soldiers then. So if you wanted to bring someone like Gertrude in a list with Eric, and he was your only healer, or Old Calder's and Eric, and they're your only healers, you know that one model who's not a soldier or noble can also get healed. So good on Gertrude, good on Agatha, Quack not so much, because if you've got Quack, you've got a healer. Tabby, though, good on her as well. Make him a soldier. There's the only ones it really sticks out with. There's not really anyone else at least needed for.
And then that's the main use. That's the main thing, really. The ignore the wound is just like a little
added bonus, really.
Tiny added bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Doesn't really. I don't know. Let's think of a particular benefit.
Yeah, the main thing is the heal from those two and the movement from that, really.
Yeah.
Eric can also give energy to the soldier with whatever his ability is, but. I think.
Is it my hero?
Agatha also. Looking at the wrong person. Agatha got a thing. Yeah, Agatha's soldier, friendly soldier.
Gains energy.
Gains energy,
yeah.
So. I think Gertrude would be a strong target for this one. Also, it says a friendly soldier, so if you gave it to Agatha. If she was in combat, she'd gain the extra energy because it's not other friendly soldiers. So you could give it to Agatha. that could be quite fun.
Yeah.
So you're not so many you could use it on, but it could potentially be really useful, I think.
Yeah.
She wanted a soldier list. Because there are a few soldier synergies mainly in the human Commonwealth. There aren't really any with the fairies. I guess we're talking about this outside of a campaign, because in campaigns you can stack them. So if you give someone soldier of shirt and mail and give them that as well, or give someone that, and then you can also give them the shirt and mail. So yeah, you can stack them. I'm not going to talk too much about stacking, because that's more about running a campaign.
Yeah, there's too much really to go into as well.
Yeah. Next one, fit as a fiddle. This is a straightforward one. The character loses, ignores a slow ability if printed on its card. You can't give it to anyone and they ignore it's a kind of moonstone.
Yeah.
So really good on Mama Gimbal, on Quarrel, on Rybold, on the Firefitter.
Yeah.
Those are your main four. I think Mortician might be slow as well. Not so useful on him, I don't think, but particularly useful, I think, on the shooting ones. They got more maneuverability to go in space.
Yeah,
it's an easy one. The only thing I would say with this is if you're giving it to a model that you're expecting to pick up moonstones for you, it's then completely useless.
Yeah.
Like, Quarrel is often one that he moves to pick up the moonstone that's near your deployment zone. So, to me, it's better on things like Rybold. Would be my number one target for that one, because I don't want to pick up moonstones with Rybold, because I want him to go up as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say, same like Mama Gimbal, just doesn't really need to be charging up and all this. And she's another one that wants a moonstone.
Yeah.
Often, so, yeah. More useful than the goblins.
Yep.
What else is slow?
I can't think of any slow dominion. There's no slow fairies.
No.
Can't think of any other slow Commonwealth. Quarrel is slow. We know Mount Gimbal's slow. I said Fire Spitter and.
Rybold.
And Rybold. There's no slow humans in anything at all. And then there's any slow giants. Don't think any slow trolls. None of them are slow. Yes, yeah, like Rybold. He's a great one for it. Really good one for it.
What about Commonwealth Lesher Vault ones? If you go the other way,
don't think any of them are slow.
Because Gloom is slow, but he's not Commonwealth, is he?
No.
What is he? Just Lesher Vault.
Gloom, I think it's just Lashervolt, yeah. Yeah, it's Lashervolt. Just Lashervolt with any. So again, it's one of the ones that and it's not got as many use, not as many characters can take it, but it's really useful one to do. So just going to pause it there a moment. So I just had to pause a second there. My wife was ringing. You wouldn't have noticed that because I paused it, but
magic.
I guess we just lost what my train of thought there.
We just basically finished
Fist of Fiddle. So next one is...
Shovel.
Non-animal, goblin, human or gnome only. So no fairies, basically.
Does it mean non-animal, non-goblin?
So non-animal. So if you're an animal, you can't have it.
Yeah.
Then goblin, human or gnome only. Yeah, so basically not fairies.
Yeah.
And not animals. So Doug can't have it and things. Make a harvest action, you reduce the moonstone's value by additional minus one. So it could be good on
What was the other one earlier on that did that once?
Greedy. The first harvest action in the game reduced my mana. This is reduced my mana every time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is useful for so many models.
Yeah.
Good on giants. They've got hardly any. Oh no, it's goblin, human, or gnome only, so it can't be on giants.
I guess it's useful for weaklings as well, because it basically makes them not weakling.
Yeah, so good on like Beaky Bobby.
Mm.
Obviously not on the fairy, sadly, because they're all weaklings, but then it doesn't say fairy, so you can't use it on the fairy.
Yeah.
but good on Beaky Bobby, good on...
Suck it, fairies.
Yeah, there's a couple of other goblins that are weaklings that's good on. My thinking with this one is not so much... Maybe the ones you kind of moving up. I mean, you would set a non-animal, but you wouldn't use it on Doug anyway, because the way he reduces moonstones.
Mm.
I've been thinking about this on someone like Mama Gimbal, who's often at the back picking up moonstones who's already slow, or Quarrel is back picking up moonstones who's slow, but they're not using up loads of energy to do it. So they could pick up a 4 moonstone with just 2 energy.
Yeah, every time you make a harvest action.
It's really good picking up those. Yeah. It's useless for instances that are 1. Not at you for things that are 3 either, but really good on 2s and 4s.
Yeah. So, you can't have it on Jada, can you?
Yeah, you can't have it on Jada. It's slightly limited on who you can take it on.
Yeah.
But Daniel, good for him, because he's usually picking up moonstones, he wants one.
Yeah.
So it means he can pick it up and do something else.
Yeah.
Good on almost any gnome, really. Because gnomes haven't got a lot of energy.
Yeah, definitely, if you can stretch that.
Obviously, you'd ignore it on Morris, because he already does it anyway.
What's his...
He digs it up in 1 anyway.
He digs it up in 1, doesn't he? Yeah.
So he's useless on him.
Yeah.
Billy can't take it.
Doesn't Olim have something?
No.
No, okay.
But it could be perfectly good on him. Oh, he's an animal. You can't take it on him.
Oh, okay.
good on, like I said, good on weaklings. Which is a few of, obviously. But also just good on anyone, really, who's good on Muadai, good on Mama Gimbal. Good on anyone who you know is going to be one of your sort of designated moonstone carriers.
Yeah.
Not so good on things like Fancy Hat, because he's not the one who want to pick up the moonstones. But great on Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Who often is picking up moonstones, but you also want him to do healing. So if there's a 2 moonstone there, but you also want him to do My Hero, you can pick a moonstone that costs 2 for 1,
and
then still do My Hero.
Yeah.
Good on Agatha. Good on Flintlock.
So anyone with 4? No one with 4 edges there.
Not humans, no.
Natty's a weakling.
And a weakling is a really good on Natty.
If someone had weakling and didn't have weakling and had 4 energy, they could pick up 2 4 moonstones in 1 go.
Yeah, but really good on Natty. Really good on, I think she's a Dominion. Really good on Anya.
Yeah.
Who's Dominion?
Yeah.
Because she's a weakling, and it's often not necessarily. Sometimes you change her into Strigo and just charge her up, but most times she's not. She's kind of your healer, and she's a great moonstone character because of Look of Innocence. Yeah. So really good with Look of Innocence models, which is basically her and Natty, I think. Natty, but I like that one. I think it could definitely be one I think of.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing with things like Shirt of Mail and other ones is the aim of the game is to pick up moonstones, so making it easier to pick them up is always going to be beneficial.
And also you can decide if you want to go and pick up moonstones, whereas you can't decide if the opponent's going to attack you or what they're going to choose to do damage with.
Yeah.
So it's under your control. That's good.
Yep. Next one, we will just do the Commonwealth ones that are Commonwealth and mixed, obviously. So that gives us 5 more to do. And
then
we'll do the last one in the next episode. It takes about an hour then. It gets kind of late.
Getting late.
We already played a game of Mordheim before this. So we're doing this as in addition to a video that we'll be going up on the channel on the Yaldi Battle app. So. Next one would go really well with Shovel.
Heal.
You unaffected by slow carry.
Cool.
But gains +1 evade while carrying a moonstone, which just makes sense. You're wielding a wheelbarrow. Goblin, human, gnome, or troll.
Obviously, there's still no fairies. Bristle knows, though, doesn't it? Because he's already got a wheelbarrow.
He has a wheelbarrow, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's that.
Good on trolls, definitely.
Good on trolls. Definitely good on trolls.
Although another plus one of aid is it a depends, bit scary.
A little bit depends on what you're facing against, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're not facing a lot of arcane, you don't care about the aid.
Yeah.
So if you know you're facing a fairly melee heavy list, then it's doesn't matter too much, really. I think it's no trouble. I'm thinking of we've got someone like Billy, who's often moving quickly. Gets a motor and can leg it back quickly as well.
Mm.
Lots of goblins are happy with this because they're already minus one anyway, not of them.
Yeah.
So to get plus one and make them zero is not a big deal. So yeah. Yeah, good one.
Oh, we forgot about Beaky with Fitz of Fiddle, didn't we? He's slow.
Yeah, I think I did mention Beaky. Yeah. I mean, he'd love to have Fitz of Fiddle and Wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wheelbarrow is a good solid. I think I've used Wheelbarrow a couple of times, I think, actually.
I've used a Wheelbarrow, but it's hard. Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, definitely good on trolls. Interesting that it's trolls, not giants.
Yeah.
But definitely fun on trolls. Good on ones like Noll as well, and Rybold. I was already slow, actually, so useless on him.
I wonder why it's trolls but not giants. I
don't know.
What would happen? Like, is there something that would be too crazy? I can't think off the top of my head. If there's
no, there probably is a reason.
Yeah.
And I can't think of it either. I'd have to ask the big men. I shouldn't call them that. It's weird. But yeah, definitely kind of a solid one to take. Like if you're facing a lot of arcane, then maybe you might be a bit. Like if you knew you're facing fairies, you might think maybe I'll take shovel off as a fiddle instead. But good against a melee heavier list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next one, four to go. Resilient non cleric character may ignore the first two wounds suffered in a game. Fairly easy. Could take it on lots of things. But we're now onto the Combat Lesser Vault.
Oh, yeah.
So actually, that's really good on a lot of Lesher Vault.
Yeah.
Because Lesher Vault have almost no damage reduction.
Yeah, they love that.
Really good on like Hoff. Because often up there hitting stuff.
Yeah.
And the fact that he'll ignore the first two wounds hit back is really good. Or like Lubard.
And so, unlike Battle Hardened, you just ignore it immediately. So it just makes you able to tank straight away.
Yeah.
Rather than hoping you survive to heal.
So really good on. Well, I could on anything really. This is good on everything. Anything really.
Yeah.
Also potentially good on models that are often being targeted by long range arcane early in the game. So like your Lubard, like your giants, who are often being targeted early on. If they don't lose, if they're not losing wounds being chipped off early, then
it's very permissive as well. Non cleric, so pretty much almost anyone.
Yeah, and because it's wounds, not damage, it's literally everything.
Yeah.
So. And the non-cleric means there's not a lot of clerics in the game. Potentially good on things that already would maybe not so good on things that are already reducing damage. To be honest, to me this when I saw this, I really thought I would give this to someone who already doesn't have any kind of damage reduction.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't give it to Klaus because he's already got protection. I would give it to Hoff.
But it does mean Klaus has got like double. If you don't do more than two damage to him,
yeah, it does. Doesn't mean, yeah, protection and then that as well, yeah.
But yeah. Do you think you need to make someone even harder to kill or not, or give it to someone that's fragile?
Yeah. But definitely a good kind of all rounder on that one. There's I lean more towards Leshfort on it really.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I think it's because they don't have much more damage reduction.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a bit less health in general than humans.
Yeah.
I think overall. I suppose actually there's 10, a few now. 8,
9, 10. Trees. Yeah. A couple of trees with 11, 12. Even like Klaus has got 8.
Okay.
Even Drainer.
Has got 8. Oh, yeah. She's got quite a lot, actually, yeah. Okay.
Daniel's got 7. They're about the same, actually. And there's a few, like Chubb has got 6.
It's like the lack of defensiveness.
Lack of defensiveness. Yeah, like Jay has got 7, but no defensiveness.
Yeah.
Chubb's
as well.
Chubb's, yeah. Like Wendigo's got 8. But I think that's different. Like, Wendigo's got 8. Like, Fancy Hat's got a set 7, but as -2 damage.
Yeah.
Kind of different. Like, the Witches, good on the Witches.
Mm-hmm.
Play third one to go. Not what am I talking about? I've lost track of what I'm talking about.
Nearly there.
Nearly 3 left to go, yeah. Lucky Bunnyfoot. Lucky. Lucky, it's been like a murder Bunnyfoot. not just Lucky Bunny. Lucky Murder Bunnyfoot. Character can ignore the first catastrophe effect that they suffer in each game. Again, obviously useful for models that you're worried about catastrophes.
Yeah.
Really good flintlock.
Yeah, you don't want your pistols
on those ones where the catastrophe is really bad. Like flintlock.
Take it as a bit of insurance.
Like quarrel. Because that's just anyone. Any Commonwealth or Lesser Vault. I don't think it's anyone particularly good as well. Bad. Well, Daniel, if you're really intending to end his nigh. Don't think there's any other ones. Things like Antonia, Visions of the Present is really bad. If you suffer it and you don't want to suffer it.
Is there anything that you could use this for to be tricky? Just trying to think, other than just taking it as insurance.
It's mainly insurance, I think, because like with Lesser Vault, you've got those ones who want to suffer catastrophe because you don't want that.
You don't want, that's the thing. You don't want.
So it's not very good on with using the Revenant because you want to do catastrophes.
Yeah.
To me, it's Flintlock, it's Quarrel, who lose their main thing if you suffer catastrophe.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Quarrel, it's not as much good if you've got Graddock with you because he ignores catastrophes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But
protects you against goblin making you suffer catastrophe stuff like
the Chivalry
would do that.
Yes, good against troops that cause catastrophes. Yeah. Nomishiatic's a good one because often by himself, not necessarily near Graddock.
I mean, it's not necessarily your go-to, but like say on Baron, because if he gets a catastrophe, doesn't he? Yes, I was saying. Baron, what's his catastrophe? Yeah, he suffers, three wounds,
which is bad for the Baron. Yeah,
his arm, so,
potentially good for the Baron. But the thing is, the thing with him is you don't tend to shoot his thing.
That's not his main thing.
You tend to shoot it one. You don't tend to actually reload it after that.
Yeah.
To me, it's Flintlock and Quarrel, and my main two with that one, because you lose their guns.
Yeah.
Completely. And that's their main. I mean, Flintlock isn't terrible without his gun, but Quarrel is fairly bad without it. Both his arms are obviously useful, but it's. Yeah, it's things where there's a normal amount of damage if you, or, you know, it, to me it's insurance more than anything else. I wouldn't use it for anything other than insurance, and it means that you can bluff.
Yep,
at least once. Fun one, but quite situational, but could also be really could potentially be really useful. Mm-hmm. Right, 2 left. With the Commonwealth ones, like I said, we'll do the rest of them on another day. Revival Elixir, Cleric only. If a friendly model is slain within 4 inches, this character may spend X energy. If they do, the character is not slain and remains in play with X health boxes remaining once per turn.
Once per turn.
Pretty good. I mean, who the clerics are now. That's a good one.
Yeah.
We've used that before.
Definitely, yeah.
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 It is only 4 inches.
Yep.
But it's friendly model, not other friendly model. I don't think what clerics have we got. Daniel's a cleric. Reagan's a cleric. Could be good with both of those.
Flavius?
Yeah, Flavius. Look, I'm on the Toodles as a cleric.
Yeah. Boris.
And then I think Mamakin was not. Liv is a cleric.
Yeah.
Quack's a cleric. Okay, it's good for him. Flavius, a cleric. The thing with some of these is you'd have to keep an energy back.
If any model is in 4,
And you'd have to make sure that they because I think to me that that's really good on Flavius. He doesn't mind being too high up because he's quite tough.
So you're saying that if he's slain, he can then spend, but he can't spend that energy if he's slain, right? Is that what you're saying, that he can spend it on himself to not die?
No, no, not on himself. That wasn't my thinking. No. No. But you don't want to be a cleric who's going to be, who's vulnerable in the first place. They're quite, quite vulnerable.
Yeah.
So if he's up, high up, staying within 4 inches of people,
yeah,
he's also then at risk of being attacked. Whereas Flavius doesn't mind being attacked because he's really tough.
Yeah, definitely makes sense.
And lots of health. Yeah. So to me, that's, I'd use that on Flavius primarily. Prosper Daniel, he's actually fairly, he's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. He's not a combat monster like he used to be, but he's still
not
bad.
No, he's still not bad. And he also, Daniel quite likes being near people anyway.
Yeah.
Because with his other abilities, he's already buffing people in other ways, so he likes being up there anyway.
Yeah.
It's particularly good on him, I think, on those two. Yeah. More than anything. But yeah, definitely a good one, but you've got to be a little bit careful because it could also make your cleric of your target. It's like painting a target on the back of his head, back of the head, isn't it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right, last one, Feverfew, Leaf, Cleric, Fawn or Gnome only. And basically they gain healing.
Healing. Just a normal healing spell.
Normal healing spell. Yep. obviously, particularly good if you've got someone with an unusually high arcane who doesn't have healing. So it's Cleric, Fawn or Gnome. So someone like Daniel has got. What is it? Cleric. Yeah, Daniel's cleric, got.
Yeah.
Fawn or no? So not no humans on this one, but like even Hoff's got arcane four.
I was just thinking, Jade has got four energy, so she could potentially heal twice. Like
yeah,
like,
Jade is definitely
arcane,
a good one.
Though?
Four.
Okay.
Four, yeah. Arcane four. What was it? It was cleric four or gnome.
No.
I don't think anyone's got particularly high arcanes. Just looking at somebody's already got them.
So Reagan, she's got other healing stuff.
No wonder I couldn't get these cards in because I've got them like three times. I think she was already on the other page. While I'm here, I'm just rearranging my card sheet while I'm here. Gloom, good on Gloom. Arcane 4, having something else to do. It was Gnome as well, wasn't it? I think Gnomes were particularly weirdly high arcane. Mama Gimbal's already got healing.
Yeah, she's got healing. She's the only one with the really high arcane, I think.
Callister. Quite good on Callister, actually. She's arcane 5.
Oh, yeah.
And doesn't have a standard heal. She's got Lesher Falls Caress, so whether you'd want to use more than one thing, I don't know.
Where is she? What's the... Oh, there.
There.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's Jada. I'd give it to Jada. Jumping around.
These are landing on Jada actually.
I like the idea of giving her healing as well.
She's got decent arcane and 4 energy just without any help. So
yeah,
she becomes pretty.
Apart
good.
From that, there was lots of the gnomes have got quite low arcane. Billy's got a weirdly high arcane 4.
Yeah,
and there's Olim. Could be good on Olim.
Yeah.
And then we're on to humans. It was cleric, wasn't it?
Cleric, but was
most clerics.
It could
got
be a human cleric, couldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but Quack and heal. Fire both got heal already. I'm trying to think of any other clerics that haven't got heal. Quick. Quite good on Kavner actually. He's a gnome.
Yep.
Arcane 4.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Daniel, even, because his healing is not as good. But it's also alright, so I probably wouldn't bother. There's not so many you could use it on. But it's definitely, having an extra healing is never going to be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Could be good. Again, it's, you've got choice. So the difficult thing, there's none so far like that where I thought I'd never use that. There's some I thought I would use more than others. I like the fact that a lot of them have, are quite specific, like soldier only, like rogue or pirate or noble only, because if there were just anyone could use anything, there's some that would then I think would never get used.
Yeah.
I
think that's definitely needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, there's some really, really fun things you can add to your game and actually change the way, things like expert training could completely change the way you play the game. And enchanted boots, like, there's some kind of standard, I'm not sure what to take, I'll take this one because it's going to be generally going to be good, whatever. And then there's some that you'll take and be thinking about how you're going to play with that.
Yeah.
Like Revival Elixir is going to think, right, well, if I put on this cleric, they need to start here.
Yeah.
In the middle and move up with other characters around them.
They run the gamut, is that what you say? They run the gamut from, like, very simple, straightforward, stick this on and you're good to go, to, like, changing the whole game plan, basically.
Yeah, because some things like Whetstone, for example, you just stick on someone who's already quite good in combat and they get a bit better. Yeah. You stick your Oxblood Elixir, it's okay, well, I'll stick on someone who's already quite good at stuff. It's not really going to change how I use them because they're going to hit stuff anyway, they might kill stuff quicker.
Yeah.
Whereas Enchanted Boots, Bunnyfoot,
Rogue's Guild,
giving people different keywords, that's going to change the way you play the game a bit.
Yeah.
Like conscripted.
Yeah.
You're going to think, right, well, I'm going to put on this person for a specific reason, and it's going to change how I do this.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a lot of, we've got to go over an hour, so we'll stop in a moment and we'll do the Dominion and Lesher Vault on probably the next one. I guess I'll just say is, do have a go at using these. They are fun to use.
Also, the illustrations are really cool.
Illustrations are really cool. They're in the camp, if anyone doesn't know how to get them, they're in the campaign pack of cards. We're not going to talk about the campaign cards because they're more complicated than we haven't done a campaign either. But you can use these outside of campaigns. You just agree with your opponent how many upgrade cards you're going to use. You've got free reign, then take what you want.
Yeah.
These kind of replace, I think, the old card. What were the cards
called? Ploys and...
They're not ploys. What were they called?
Events agendas.
Yeah, so event agendas were something that...
What was I thinking? I was thinking of...
I don't know if they're still in the starter set, you know.
Underworld.
Events agendas.
I don't know.
We haven't used them for ages, but...
Yeah.
When the game first came out, yeah, there was a deck called Events Agendas that... Could add to the game, basically. We used to start with.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Tom about those, and they weren't as well playtested as these have been. So these are kind of much, and you can tell.
I definitely can tell. Yeah.
These are much more. There's a lot less sort of loopholes and things in them. I think. I think they're good fun. I really like the addition of the upgrade cards to the game. I think they're good.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, feel free to comment on any that you've used or you think are particularly good, or anything you think we talked about utter rubbish. But yeah, anything else you want to add?
Yeah. No, I like them. I think they're good. I think we should use them more.
Yeah, we should use them more.
As you said, we're doing a bit of tournament practice at the moment, but definitely need to introduce these.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going through the rest, actually, because I don't know them that well, all of them, so... Yeah, looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, so the next one, probably either the next one or if I end up doing one with Joe in between or something, but next one should be the rest of the upgrade cards. I'll call this episode Upgrade Cards Part 1.
What are you going to call the second one?
Part 3. Or I'll call this one Part 1 and the next one, like, Final Cut or something. Or the finale.
Grand finale.
But yeah, okay. Cool. Well, I enjoyed talking about that one. That's quite nice to talk about, and it's different.
We plan it or anything, so we're just thinking.
We were planning to have a game of more time, which we've done.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe we can squeeze in a quick podcast as well.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to talk about. I sort of go from having lots of things I want to talk about to no things I want to talk about. I've got a couple of other things I want to do, but a couple I want to do with Joe. And a couple of them kind of take a bit more preparation. We're going to salute in a couple of days. Yeah. I thought about doing one while we're there.
Ooh.
Having a bit of chat in the car, basically. Yeah. One of us just holds the phone up and have a chat in the car about what we're thinking about salute, and then do before and after, see if I can catch any opinions of people as they're going around. maybe. We'll see. I might do that. I might do a salute one, even if it's just like 20 minutes.
Get a Mooncast shirt made up.
Yeah, I kind of want to. But yeah, and if I don't, I apologise that the next episode is not about salutes. But I'm quite looking forward to salute, to do going there and demoing. It's always quite
busy.
I've
never been,
so. Yeah. Never been to salute at all?
No, I've never been to salute. No,
oh, wow.
No.
This will be my fourth time, I think.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it'll be the third time I've been with Moodstone, I think.
When did you go to
the I've also been once, ages ago.
It's
been like 6-7 years ago. I went when we were still playing Gates of Antares.
Oh,
because I'm picking up a model, one of those models.
Oh, God.
I actually prefer going. Sorry, we're just completely off. Just we're having a chat.
Had to have a tangent.
We're at some point. Yeah. I actually prefer going and demoing and then going to buy stuff, because I won't spend any money. probably.
Well, we'll see about that.
And it's the thing with salute is, salute's great, but it's a bit, if you're not careful, it's a bit wood for the trees. Like, where do you stop? And but there should be quite a few of us apparently doing demoing. Like, last time there's only three, so we were demoing solidly for the whole time.
Yeah, might get more chance
this time. I think Tom said he's got sort of 5 or 6 people happening to demo, so we will have a chance to go and have a wander around, basically.
Cool.
Which should be good. But yeah, so next episode will either be a short little salute one, where we're just talking in the car or something. It'll be a bit louder, we'll do what we can, but
metal music blaring.
We'll see. But thanks for listening anyway. Hope you enjoyed that one. We will obviously do one on the rest of the upgrade cards, because they're quite fun to talk about. Happy Moonstone. I never know how I end these ones. I do it every time.
Keep on mooning then.
Keep on stoning. And I was like, well, mooning? No, not that either. Okay, anyway. Hope you enjoyed that one, and listen to the next one. Bye.